But a Canadian couple used What Three Words to arrange their first date. And they subsequently got married, and to commemorate their first date, they got a What Three Words address tattoo of that exact spot.
Welcome to Tech Talks, hosted by myself, David Savage, and powered by Nash Squared. Today's guest on Tech Talks is the Chief Marketing Officer, Giles Rees-Jones of What Three Words. And to discuss that, joining me today is Sam. How are you, Sam?
I am good. Yeah, I'm confused and ready to learn about it.
Yeah, What Three Words is not something you're familiar with, right?
No, I've had it for this morning.
Yes.
And I'm playing around with it right now.
Okay.
And I'm interested to see what you have.
You should use it, right? Because you live at Brighton and you spend time at the beach and meet friends at the beach. And a beach does not have a fixed address. And a beach is very long and can be quite crowded. But if you had What Three Words, you could tell someone exactly where you were on the beach.
That is so smart. I'm like, yeah, because I'm looking at it now. And that's a good point for like really, either really crowded places or really isolated places.
Or big spaces where it's like, well, where are you?
Precisely, like a field.
Yes, exactly. Talking of which, I spent most of my weekend at Banana Handlebar Tolerates.
At where?
At Banana Handlebar Tolerates. And if you were to use your app and if you type in banana.handlebar.tolerates, you will see where I spent most of my weekend. And it has relevance to the field comment.
Okay, wait. Cricket.
Cricket, there you go. Headcorn Cricket Club. Took a minute.
It's live, you know, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, there's a lot more interesting user cases for What Three Words, and it's also popped up in some popular culture. I know that Jeremy Clarkson, Clarkson's Farm 3, I saw a clip that mentioned What Three Words quite amusingly recently, but there have been some much more Hollywood mentions and some really seriously life-saving ones. So we'll hand over to the interview. We'll come back afterwards. So I'm sitting chatting to Giles, the CMO. I should double check that that is Chief Marketing Officer M is not something else.
No, the M is marketing, yeah.
But Chief Marketing Officer for What Three Words. How are you?
I'm very well, actually, yeah. I've just got back from a trip abroad.
Yeah.
I went to Canada and had some fun skiing, but I'm now back in the swing of things in London.
Whereabouts in Canada?
I was about 3 hours north of Whistler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you manage to use What Three Words to find your favourite slope?
We did. Interestingly, we are very popular in Canada.
Right.
It's a large tech-savvy market, very well developed, good mobile phone penetration, vast wildernesses. And so they use it a lot to tell each other where to meet. And actually, we're used a lot by emergency services in Canada to locate people if they're in trouble. So it was good to go there, and we were known. When I explained it to people, they knew what we were. You know, they knew what I did, which was outstanding.
So let's not make the assumption that our audience does.
Yep.
Whilst What Three Words were on this podcast 6 years ago, and I am self-confessed fanboy. Other people may be totally unfamiliar about what we're whittering on about. So who are and what is What Three Words?
Well, so when you think about it, the world is actually quite badly addressed.
Yeah.
Street addresses cover certain areas. But as soon as you go out into countryside, rural areas, parks, beaches, the sea, street addresses don't exist. They're not accurate, and it can be difficult to describe a location. And in fact, even if you have got a street address, you type in a building name, for example, pin drops in the middle of the building. It's got multiple entrances, exits, ways in. Mm. And if you're trying to find the right place, that can be frustrating for you as an individual. If you're a delivery company, that can be really expensive because you're doing thousands of those a day and you're getting to the wrong place. And if you're a first responder, the implications can be far more serious. And so we're like, we need a better system than street addresses and postcodes. And so our founder, Chris, decided to come up with one. And basically what he did with a friend is divide the world up into small squares. 57 trillion 3 meter by 3 meter squares, or 10 foot by 10 foot squares for your US audience. And we've allocated each one of those squares a unique three-word code, a three-word identifier. Mm. So table, chair, lamp, for example, is a 3 meter square somewhere in the world. What we do is we take GPS coordinates, which are brilliant, super accurate, cover the globe, but incredibly difficult to remember, really easy to make an error. You mix up a 1 and a 7 and you end up an hour north of Rome instead of an hour south of Rome, but you can't kind of spot the issue. So we take those GPS coordinates and we convert them into words. And we're just a really simple way to talk about any location on the planet.
And I'll be perfectly honest. People have often said to me in the past, what is your favourite podcast? And I've been running this show now for 9 years. And I still come back to What Three Words, because I think it's an example of, well, there's a really simple idea that even I could have had. Now, no way could I have actually put it into, you know, implemented it and executed it. But it's such a wonderfully simple idea when you break it down that then has brilliant social purpose angle to it in terms of emergency services, as you alluded to with Canada, but also commercial use with regards to pizza delivery.
Yeah, I think that the it's a really simple idea to kind of understand. And you do have a lot of people saying, I could have done that. I could have come up with that idea. But as you point out, the key challenge is the application of that and getting into market and marketing it and selling it and finding the right kind of businesses to kind of take it on. I think the origin story is quite interesting because it came out of a frustration. Chris used to organize music events around the world, and whether he was trying to find, I don't know, gate 37B at the NEC arena in Birmingham, or he was trying to find a remote chateau in France. He was like, street addresses are just not good enough. So he did start using GPS coordinates. He thought this will solve it. But it became apparent very quickly that roadies and drummers and bass guitarists are not predisposed to remembering 18 digits, writing them down, and then putting them into a sat nav and actually getting to that and getting to that place. And so he came up with this solution with a friend of his. And as you say, it became apparent very quickly that actually the implications were far more significant than getting bands to gigs on time. Mm. Actually, poor addressing affects absolutely everything that we do from a day-to-day point of view, whether you're meeting up with a friend, going to a meeting an office, emergency services, ordering a taxi, getting an e-commerce delivery, everything has got an address attached to it.
And I suppose one of the really good examples that I've often heard, that if people are going, well, what do you mean by emergency services? If you have a crash down a country lane with no way of really identifying exactly where you are, if you can give a three-word address to the emergency services, they immediately know exactly where you are.
Yes, and that's exactly it. There's this, in certain circumstances, the emergency services can tell where you are automatically if you phone them up. But actually, it's not the case in the majority of circumstances, certainly globally. We actually featured in a TV show called NCIS Los Angeles, where a cop TV show, where one of the team members is kidnapped and she leaves a cryptic clue in her notebook, 3 random words circled in invisible ink. And they're like, what are these words? And someone in the back of the room goes, it's what, 3 words? What 3 words is a blah, blah, blah. They type it into the map, pin drops in somewhere, I think it was in Vietnam. They send in the choppers, they rescue the teammate, and it's a happy ending to that particular episode. Now, there was a British Transport Police officer who watched that show and was like, I wonder if What 3 words is actually a thing. And found out, and he was like, wow, yeah, it's an app, it works. So it's like, I should probably start using that, because I work on British Transport, the railway system, where street addresses just aren't accurate, don't cover. So he started using it, and some of his colleagues started using it, and they reached out to us, and we were like, oh wow, emergency services, actually, you know, this is a really useful thing for emergency services. And so we lent in and spent quite a lot of time training them, bringing them up to speed. We integrated our technology into their CAD dispatch software, so it was really easy for them to turn it on, and it kind of grew. It kind of grew from there, and we know that we are. It is being used to save lives almost on a daily basis. You know, we have a social media alert that kind of feeds in whenever we're mentioned, and we see it on a very, very frequent basis that someone has crashed down a country lane. They don't know where they are. They've either got the app on their phone because a police officer or an emergency service, an ambulance, told them to download it. They use What Three Words and they're found. And we've got audio recordings of these things happening, which is pretty humbling.
So that's amazing, kind of word of mouth growth.
Yeah.
And fantastic for the business. Growth is important. I think before I hit record, you referenced that at about the time that I interviewed your colleague Claire, it was kind of in one car, and now you're kind of almost a household name.
Yet
still, if we're being perfectly honest, you're up against pre-installed navigation apps on people's phones. You know, you have to go and hunt for What Three Words, install it, choose to use it over stuff that basically is already there,
for
kind of ease of use for people when they turn their device on. How do you get through and try and grow and capture that audience?
There's a huge can't be bothered factor. There's a huge this is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that, you know, you'll stand on the, although I guess the taxi drop off, and they go, yeah, we're here now. And you're like, yeah, that's fine. And you jump out of the taxi and you walk 20 yards to actually the place that you wanted to get dropped off. Or you stand on the corner of a street and you wave for the Uber saying, no, I'm over here. Come and kind of come and pick me up. So there's this inbuilt like acceptance that that's okay, which is quite weird. Interestingly, we have the way that we define our audience is ambitious innovators, people who don't settle for that. And believe that there is a better way of doing things. And we saw huge, as soon as we kind of refined that those are not only the people that use us, but the businesses that use us, we started to get better growth. So as you say, when we first spoke, we were in Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we are still in every single Mercedes that rolls off the production line. You can get into the car, you can say, take me to table, chair, lamp, and it goes, okay. Which removes a huge, huge frustration on address input in cars, certainly by voice. But since then, we've been put into 15 more. So you can get into a Jaguar Land Rover. You can use this on Triumph motorcycles and Subaru, Mitsubishi. All these cars have recognized that actually this is a real challenge. And so we have a sales team which focuses on identifying those champions and those ambitious innovators in those businesses. One of the challenges is they tend to move slightly slower than an incredibly ambitious startup like ours. And so, so balancing that, you know, our need for speed with their legacy systems has been interesting. But then we've seen dramatic growth in delivery services. One of the interesting things about COVID when it came was people weren't traveling a lot. They weren't out and about. And so we saw a decrease in the usage of our app. But that was almost matched by an increase in people getting deliveries and businesses going direct to consumers who are like, I really need this thing to arrive at my front door. And so I'm going to be very specific. So I'm going to pop What Three Words in my address notes. And it will guarantee it will get there because I can't get a redelivery. I can't go to the pick it up from somewhere else. So actually, it's worth being precise. And that's an angle that we've kind of latched onto because, yes, I could use the navigation stuff on my phone, but it won't quite get me to the right spot. And so one of the lines that we use in our marketing is it's worth being precise. It's worth using what three words.
I can speak.
There's effort.
First-hand experience of moving into a new build house, which is not yet on the Royal Mail's registry, and you're trying to get deliveries, and
you can't get a pizza, you can't get a bank account,
but you can.
Yeah.
So, growth in international markets.
Mm.
Again, Germany is a market that you're growing in quickly,
yep.
But the world doesn't have a global address book, but equally it doesn't have a global language. Is that a barrier? Is the fact that what three words predominantly here, you know, behind you on the wall, we've got three words in English, but in Mongolia.
Yeah.
Does that present a challenge, or is it as simple as translating the words?
It's not quite a translation, but we are now available in 60 languages.
Mm-hmm.
So we have addressed the entire planet, every single 3 meter by 3 meter square in 60 languages. So in Mongolia, you could use the Mongolian version of what three words. You could use the English, the French, the Spanish, whichever language you're more and most comfortable in. And I think it's important that we're on a kind of mission to help everybody talk about everywhere. And one of the key things about everyone is making sure that we can, you know, people are comfortable doing it in their native language. So we're in these 60 languages, which is about 2 billion people can now specify a location in their own language.
One of the things that Claire talked to me 6 years ago was, as a startup, it can be quite challenging to find the talent that you need, but being a socially driven startup makes a massive difference, and people want to come and work for an organisation that's got purpose. And that's obviously something that in the interim period organisations have waxed lyrical about. I thought it was quite interesting. We talked about millennials and whatever comes next, which shows how long ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Gen Z. But how has that been in terms of the growth of the company? How kind of enthusiastic have people been to come and work for you? Just be interesting to get, I suppose, a reflection on that, given that we had that direct kind of conversation 6 years back.
So we're still an incredibly purpose-driven company, right? We believe that companies should do good. And we believe that we can do good by doing business.
Yep.
So, for example, the emergency services, we give our technology away free to the emergency services. That whole sector can be fairly lucrative for certain people, but for us, we've decided we should give it away free. For NGOs, charities, anybody who is doing good with the system, we kind of give it away free to. It can be a challenge to do that, because what we've got to do is balance our commercial ambitions with doing good. And we've got to make sure that the business is generating revenue and is a good going concern, as well as doing good. So it's a key thing to balance. But we think fundamentally that we can make the world a better place. We think we can make it less frustrating. We can make it more efficient, and we can make it safer. And we've always had that belief. And I think that the people that join What Three Words understand that need to balance, but they do. They do appreciate that we're ultimately trying to do good, and it does attract people.
Do people appreciate the honesty that, you know, we're still a business, we're still here to make money? I sometimes think that the businesses don't say that enough. Like, it is a reality of the world that you have to make money to grow and to provide your service.
Yeah. And I think that we are an incredibly open business, and we tend to tell everybody everything. And I think that it's caused a few conversations over the years where people have said, well, why can't we go off and do this sort of project in a developing part of the world? And it's like, well, actually, we can't. We can do what we can given the circumstances that we're in. But everybody pretty much understands that now. You shouldn't try and greenwash stuff. You should kind of say it as is, I think.
Just to finish on, I used What Three Words 5 or 6 years ago to get a pizza delivered. This is incredibly upper middle class sounding, but to the line of the last night of the proms, because you have to queue for tickets for hours and you can't go anywhere.
So I got Domino's to deliver to the line, yeah. Which people were like, hang on, how have you done that?
That's brilliant.
What quirky instances have you seen of What3Words being used or cropping up in media?
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that we started to seep into popular culture. So the queue for the Queen's lying in state,
right,
which was at one point like 24 hours long, I think, you had to stand and wait for, and they used What3Words to specify the end of the queue. So there was this kind of live update that was being updated on a, you know, kind of half hourly basis, and every time it moved they would update the What3Words address, which was amazing. But we've seen What3Words seep into popular culture. I mentioned the TV show that we were in, and we've been in four or five since. Everything from The Blacklist to Emmerdale and Coronation Street. So we're starting to seep into popular culture there. Brewdog did a beer named after the What3Words address of the entrance to their brewery.
Right. Okay.
It was quite a punchy Belgian. I think it was 8%. So definitely drink with caution. And we've had What3Words tattoos. So again, globally, but a Canadian couple used What3Words to arrange their first date. And they subsequently got married, and to commemorate their first date, they got a What3Words address tattoo of that exact spot, which was pretty amazing. So you see all these kind of weird and wonderful uses of What3Words. There's a whole industry. If you go onto Etsy and you type in What3Words, there are people making dog tags and house welcome mats and wallets and phone cases and pictures and signs for kind of people's homes.
Yep.
So there's a whole industry springing up around this system, which is amazing.
And if someone wants to use it, the easiest thing to do, download it for free on Android, the Play Store,
iOS, the App Store. And
you can tell which one I use.
And you can, or you can go to the website, what3words.com.
Yep.
Type in your address, zoom in, move the pin to the exact spot of your front door, and see the What3Words address that has been allocated, because they've all been allocated already. They're fixed. You can't choose them. You can't change them. We've put similar sounding words quite far apart.
Yep.
So table, chair, lamp is in Australia. Table, chair, damp is in New York. So if you make a slight error, the system goes, I think you meant table, chair, damp, because you're a mile away.
Right.
So we've built those things in. We've removed things like homophones, shop sale, boat sale. They've been removed here, location and to listen has been removed. We've removed offensive words, swear words. But there are some interesting ones out there. So Audi found Vorsprung durch Technik, the three-word tagline for their advertising.
Where is it?
It is in the rainforest just outside of São Paulo.
Amazing.
And so they took a car and they drove there. They took one of their big Q7s and they attempted...
A green version of it? Or
it must have been the E version. And the EV version. And they attempted to get to Vorsprung.dirk.technik. They got pretty close, but it was deep right. in the jungle. So you've got these kind of serendipitous kind of word combinations that are out there, but you can't choose, you can't change them. It's fixed. It works offline, which is one of the reasons that the kind of emergency services guys like us so much.
Amazing. Well, look, thank you very much for the opportunity to come in and do an update 6 years on from the original episode of Tech Talks. And thank you for your time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Right, Sam, keeping with the theme of What3Words, sage.agents.clap.
Sage.agents.clap. Okay. I think, to be fair, it's got me just over to the side. Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah, do you know what that is?
I'm going to cheat and say, because it says Research Avenue North, and it did, I saw Edinburgh a second ago, I'm going to presume it's the National Robotarium.
There we go. It is the National Robotarium. On mine, it just says the National Robotarium.
I see. No, I haven't got that kind of information, so I'm deducing.
Right. If you're wondering why, on Thursday,
we are premiering the Techflix film that we've made all about robotics and AI called Robotics and AI, A Near Future You're Not Prepared For. Now, I appreciate we have an international audience. Most of our listeners are in the USA. Second behind the USA, most of you are in India. However, to those of you who live in the north of the UK, if you're free on Thursday night, we're at the National Robotarium. You can come, you can watch the film, you can listen to a panel of experts discuss the film, and then have a look around a genuinely world-leading facility and meet some of the very latest artificial intelligence and robotics that you will meet anywhere in the world. Couldn't be more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you know I am a massive dog person. I want to meet that dog that's on your lap in the film.
Oh, robot. The one that, yes, the robot dog that teaches kids how to pet animals, especially kind of, because it, yeah, if you pet it nicely, it kind of, it makes happy noises and goes green. And if you pet it nastily, it kind of goes red.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's the one I want to meet. I mean, very, if people are there or they watch the live stream and they'll see David with the robot pet dog, then that's the one I want to meet. There's also, I think, potentially some more kind of more human like ones that might be there.
The Supreme ones like Amika. Yeah. Very human like. Yes, as Sam alludes to there is also a live stream on LinkedIn on Friday. So if you can't make it to the Robotarium, you can watch the live stream on Friday. We'll put links to the Eventbrite for Thursday, just in case you're in the area. And we'll also put a link to the live stream for Friday in the show notes. But as well as all of that, you can also meet me and Sam there, our producer, our social media guru, who I've dragged on today to talk about What Three Words. But you've got a shiny new app on your phone that you never knew you needed. But
I do, and it's on my work one, so I can just constantly send you my location in the airport. I was on a walk
in a big conference hall.
Yes.
When you're in a very big conference hall and it's like, well, where exactly?
We have Collision coming up. That's a big one.
We'll be able to find you in the pavilion very easily.
Fantastic. Well, I'm a convert. Not that I wasn't into it before.
Well, you just didn't know.
But I'm a brand new fan. And now I won't have to say, I'm slightly left of the carousel, but not as far as the hotel.
Exactly.
Anymore.
There you go. Couldn't be better. Right. Thank you. What Three Words? Thank you, Giles. Sam, thanks for joining me. We'll be back on Wednesday when we talk all about security with Checkpoint's Derek Mitchelson. Tech Talks is hosted and edited by David Savage. It is produced by Nash Squared. And we have special thanks to Lemzy for supplying music to this show.